Am I on?
Oh, there we go.
Power.
All the screens are working.
All the screens are working and I'm on? Wow, we can have church now. Wonder if we could have church without power. Used to, didn't it? I have to preach loud. Fire and brimstone. No. Good morning, huh? Aren't you glad to be here?
Yes.
Golly, can we get those down a little more? I hate those lights. I'm going to be honest with you, I don't like those lights. At least not that bright. At least not that bright. A little better, yeah, that's a little better. I'm picky. I know that's not right. I heard a testimony the other day I wanted to share with you. I was watching a show by, it wasn't really a show, but an interview put on by the Family Research Council. I don't know if you're familiar with them or not, but they were interviewing three girls, young ladies, from Iran who had been persecuted Christians. All of them had spent time in prison, and I don't know if they just escaped and got here, but they were here. And they were interviewing them about what's going on in Iran. And they said the common thing for people to say when you meet another Christian on the street is, "Have you seen Jesus?" Jesus is appearing to people in Iran. Some of them not Christians, and telling them to seek out Jesus. Visions, dreams are taking place. And now Iran, and this is what they said, is the fastest growing Christian community in the world. Our God is victorious.
Yes.
Just like we sang this morning.
Yes.
I mean, that's awesome. You know, so if you wonder if God is doing anything in the world, is he pouring out his spirit, are there revivals, we're waiting for revivals. There are revivals happening all over the world. Awakenings and Jesus appearing to people. And they were so full of life and joy, and they'd all been persecuted, all been in prison for their faith. God is moving because the earth belongs to the Lord and all those who dwell in it. And to the increase of his government, there shall be no end. Everybody say no end.
No end.
That means Jesus wins. I said Jesus wins. Aren't you glad Jesus wins?
Yes.
He won. He's winning. And he's coming back. Amen. Praise the Lord. He's really going to come back. I wonder if he'll come back in our lifetime. Can you imagine going about your day and, you know, I'm putting mud on the wall, drywalling, and all of a sudden I hear a trumpet. No more drywall tools. Take those things off. I'm out of here. Hallelujah. Wow, what a day. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Amen? And until then, we occupy until he comes. Amen? Well, let's pray as we prepare our hearts to receive God's word, and as we're going to continue in the series that we've been in. Lord, we pray that you would touch our hearts this morning and you would open up our minds to receive and hear and understand. And Lord, that we would be transformed, sanctified by your word. Jesus said, "Sanctify them, Lord, in your truth." He prayed that. So I pray today you'd sanctify us in your truth. And Lord, I pray for your anointing on me as I minister this word, and for your anointing on every person here as we receive the word. Lord, we approach your word with reverence and honor, and we're so grateful that we have a Bible Lord, thank you for your truth. Amen? Amen. Amen. Well, you can open your Bibles if you want to John. We're going to begin in John chapter 7. And I'll get there in a minute. I'm not ready for that yet, but you can get ready. We're teaching our series through the book of Galatians. And we're going to be starting chapter 5 today. And the title, of course, of our series is Jesus Means Freedom. And the title of my message is Free to Love. Free to Love. Amen. Michael's told me, he said, man, did you plan that? It's Valentine's Day this weekend. No, I didn't plan that, but hey, it fits. It fits great. Free to love. Free to love. So, as we've been walking through Galatians and the churches that were planted by the Apostle Paul and Barnabas had been planted and founded, and we've taught this on the truth that there is justification in Jesus Christ alone, or salvation in Christ alone. It's not by works, it's not by law. It's because Jesus Christ came to rescue mankind from the bondage of sin and to set us free from the slavery that we're all in because we're all born in sin. And we've walked through that. And just as a reminder, justification, I looked it up actually, wrote down this definition because it's kind of a big word. Some of you may know it. Many of you know what it means. It's always good to hear it again. It's an act of free grace. Everybody say free grace.
Free grace.
So how much does it cost?
Free.
Didn't cost you anything. How much did it cost the Lord?
Everything.
Free grace by which God pardons the sinner and accepts him as righteous on account of the atonement of Christ. Now think about that for a minute. Justification, an act of free grace by which God pardons the sinner and accepts him as righteous on account of the atonement of Christ. If you're a Christian today, you are accepted by God as righteous. And you think, really? Me? Yeah, you. In Christ. The divine trade. Praise God. The churches there have been established on that, founded on that, excited in that. God had poured His Spirit out. Great numbers had come to Christ. And now someone was trying to bring them under the law of Moses and tell them they could only be saved if they followed the law. And Paul, as I said a couple weeks ago, was preaching a fiery message here in the book of Galatians because he's upset that they're being led away from the simple devotion to Jesus Christ and salvation by faith and being brought under a law. And many of them are being influenced by that. The doctrine of salvation by faith alone, as I said a couple weeks ago, is that all of us are under the law of sin and death. And I made the statement, Carolyn said she thought it was a great statement, that we were on death row. It kind of shocks us into what reality of where we were. We were on death row as human beings, facing the divine wrath of God, the just wrath of God, the just judgment of God, which is important for us to understand. But God, in His great love, so loved the world that He sent His only Son. He didn't want to judge us, but He had to. So He came up with this divine plan before He ever even made us, before He ever created anything, that He would bear the penalty for us. Oh, man, you just meditate on that. And keep meditating on that, and we should until the Lord comes. And then we'll see Him and fall at His feet.
Yes.
And the full revelation.
Yes.
And thank Him.
Yes.
Forever. Forever.
Yes.
I don't know what heaven's going to be like, and I don't know if we're just going to be one eternal praise service, but it's going to be awesome. And we're going to be grateful, and we're going to be in the presence of the one who gave his life for us. And I said that Jesus fulfills the demands of the law, and then he satisfied the justice of God by offering himself as a sacrifice, and then God declared us justified when he raised him from the dead. Death was conquered. Sin was conquered. That's why Jesus came out of the tomb, you see. Jesus came out of the tomb because we were justified. When God said, it's done. And then he declared Jesus righteous and raised him from the dead. And we were raised with him to newness of life. So we are justified by faith in Jesus. God sent Jesus to do what we couldn't do. He sent him to do what we couldn't do. And you know that. Most of you know this. I'm not telling you anything most of you don't know. He sent him to do what we could not do. We try. Many of us have tried and tried and tried and tried to be good. We couldn't do it. We couldn't satisfy that divine justice. But he did. And I made one statement. I told you, remember this a couple weeks ago. If you don't remember anything else, the righteousness God demands by the law is the righteousness he provided in Jesus Christ. The righteousness God demands, because he's holy, have to have it if you're going to be in his presence. By the law, he provided in Jesus Christ. Wow. Wow. And then Michael took us last week, and he taught us, I loved that message last week, powerful. Those who believe are adopted children of God. And I love the way he said it. We're his real kids. He was talking about his adopted kids. If you remember, if you weren't here, you ought to go listen to the message. It was powerful. They have adopted children. People ask them, are those your real kids? I loved that. I mean, not a picture. We're God's real kids. Adopted, the spirit of adoption crying out, Abba, Father. Wow. Abba, Father. God's real kids. Well, John chapter 7, I'm going to begin there as far as the scriptures go today. John chapter 7, as I move into this message on free to love, verse 37 through 39. Jesus, it says, now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. With this he spoke of the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for the Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. Again, we have Jesus. Believe. He's telling us, believe. Faith. If you believe in me, out of you will flow rivers of living water. Rivers of living water. Have you ever been near a big spring? There was one down in Jack's Forks River, I think, maybe. Jumped in it. Froze me to... Woo! But it's just bubbling, this spring. Massive, huge spring, just water pouring out of it. And fresh, lively, I mean, you're not going to go to sleep in that water. Unless you stay in there too long. Out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of life. Rivers of fresh living water. We should be alive people.
Amen. Yes.
There's a river of life that flows out of the converted soul. If you've never experienced a river of life, you've probably never really come to Christ. Because when you come to a salvation experience in Jesus Christ, you know it. Something changes inside of you. Life comes. Now, we all get saved in different ways. We all come to Christ in different ways. But there's a sense of life when we put our faith in Jesus. Let's go over to Galatians chapter 5. Paul continuing his teaching to the Galatians. And he says in verse 1, it was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. Christ said, Jesus set you free so you'd be free. It was for freedom he set you free. He wants you free. He wants you to be free. Free to God. Free to love. Free to know God. We are free as children of God. Free as children of God. I'm sure when Michael and Kayla adopted their children, they didn't bring them home and set them down and say, now, here are the rules. You will, and you will, and you won't, and you won't, and you won't, and thou shalt not, and thou shalt not, and thou shalt not, and thou shalt not. I'm sure there were some rules. But I'm sure that wasn't the first thing they did. They welcomed them into their family. You are our son. You are our daughter. It was for freedom that they were adopted. Free to be sons of Michael and Kayla. We are free to be sons of God. Sons and daughters of God. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Don't be subject again to a yoke of bondage. You're no longer in bondage to sin. To the flesh. And you say, and why do I keep doing what I'm doing? Well, we're a work in progress, aren't we? But you're free to God as His sons and daughters. I taught a couple weeks ago that we are free from the curse of working out our own righteousness by keeping the law. Aren't you glad? It's impossible. And that'll wear you out. I've done it. I've tried it. I mean, as a Christian, a lot of times we go through, you know, as you've walked with God for a while, you've tried everything. You try to be as good as you can be, and you should. I mean, we're not free from the law. We're free from the curse of the law. I'm not free to go out and steal. So, you know, God's going to sanctify us, but when you start trying to be a son of God, a child of God, that'll wear you out. And you'll fall flat on your face. But we're free. We are children of the living God. Children of the living God. Wow. And so he says, be careful not to go back to a religion of laws. He says, don't be subject again to a yoke of slavery because, see, they're being told, you got to be circumcised. You got to keep the law of Moses or you really can't be saved. You got to. And he said, no. He said, be careful not to go back to a religion of laws and slavery. When you become a Christian, don't go back to trying all the stuff to be a Christian or to be good. You will be good. You will change. God will call you and sanctify you and convict you and all the things. And we're walking out this thing in the flesh until He comes. And then we will be gloriously free, set free from this body of sin. Hallelujah. And it won't be, can you imagine? Have you ever tried to imagine what it would be? We can't imagine what it would be like to have no temptation, no failures, no no desire to sin, no desire to do anything and to be selfish or whatever. No desire. That's what we're going to walk into. Wow. But we have the first fruits of the Spirit now. And so the Lord leads us and guides us and works with us. But we must be careful not to go back under the law, which is the law of slavery. In verse 2 through 4, he says, "Behold, I, Paul, say to you that if you receive circumcision," now this is pretty wild here, "Christ will be of no benefit to you. And I testify again to every man who receives circumcision that he is under obligation to keep the whole law. You have been severed from Christ. You are seeking to be justified by law. You have fallen from grace." That gives Calvin his fits. Fallen from grace? When you try to be right with God by keeping the law of Moses, and in your heart, you're thinking, if I do these things in God, I'll be right with God. You walk out from under grace. Grace is here. You walk right out of being in Christ, in a sense, and you're trying to be justified by what you're doing, and you find yourself struggling and in slavery and in bondage. It doesn't mean that you fall away from God. I mean, you could, I guess. But it means that you walk out into a place of bondage and you're trying to work out your salvation by your own works. And there's no grace in that. There's no grace in that. You fall from grace. You know, in Colossians chapter 2, Paul said, "So don't let anyone condemn you for what you eat or drink, or for not celebrating certain holy days or new moon ceremonies or Sabbaths. For these rules were only shadows of the real thing." Christ himself. Christ is the real thing. Jesus is the real thing. Jesus is the real thing. And so when you try to, if we as Christians get over into a place of trying to fulfill the law by our own works, there's no grace in that. It wears you out. There's no life in it. There's no river of life there. Come back into Christ and trusting in Him alone for your salvation. You see, religious laws, pagan or Jewish, will lead you away from Christ. I said religious laws, pagan or Jewish, will lead you away from Christ. Now, this kind of stuff gives preachers fits. I've been to every extreme. I've preached on the legalism side in my day. And boy, could I preach it, couldn't I, boys? I can make your seat real hot. I can do some fire and brimstone, let me tell you. We can tend to swing pendulums. We can also get so, we can end up on the cheap grace side. Dietrich Bonhoeffer talked about that. Powerful, if you ever want to read The Cost of Discipleship, powerful book. We can swing the pendulums, well, you know, I can do anything. God will forgive me. And you cheapen grace. That's not a good pendulum either. We come in here and we say, okay, the grace of God is valuable. It's rich. But if we put ourselves under laws, then we can walk away from the grace of Christ. I've known people in my life who actually got involved in the pursuit of, they started studying all the Jewish stuff and the traditions and the feasts and various things and really got enthralled in that. And one young man who was in our church years ago, and he got into that. And after he came out of a homosexual lifestyle, got totally free, got married. He moved away from here, got married, was living for the Lord. But he got into that stuff. He eventually led him to the place where he began to look to Jewish law. He began to really want to fulfill the Jewish law. And it led him away from Christ. He fell away from Christ. He went back into his old lifestyle, left his wife, and his whole life fell apart. I have an uncle and a cousin who I was instrumental in leading one of his son to the Lord. And he's still serving God on fire for the Lord. But his father, his whole family came. He led most of his family to Jesus. But one of his brothers got to studying again, in this case, Jewish law, and got all into that. And his father got into it. They ended up falling away from Christ, denying Christ, and now don't even believe in God. Walked out from under. And I've seen it happen. Legalism leads you away from Christ. Christ came to set us free from the curse of the law. Salvation is in Christ alone. Only He can fulfill the law. And that's the glory of the gospel. Only Jesus can fulfill the law. And He did.
Amen.
And if we believe, rivers of life will flow out of us. All you have to do is believe on the Lord Jesus. That is good news. Verse 5 and 6. Paul says, "For we through the Spirit by faith are waiting for the hope of righteousness." I'll read that again. "For we through the Spirit by faith are waiting for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything, but faith working through love." To trust in Jesus is the hope of righteousness. I mean, let's face it. We all want to be good, don't we? I mean, how hard do you get on yourself when you blow it? It's like, why did I do that? Why do I keep doing that? You don't want to be that way. If you're a Christian, you desire to walk uprightly before the Lord and be pleasing to the Lord. You do. To trust in Christ is the hope of that righteousness you seek. We all groan within ourselves, the Scripture says, for that full redemption when we see Him. We groan within ourselves. We don't like what we see in ourselves, and yet we have a hope of righteousness in Him. And it goes beyond the grave. Through the Spirit of sonship, as adopted children of God, there's hope. And He says, being a Jew, or being a Gentile, that doesn't mean anything. That's what He said. It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean nothing. Don't get caught up in that stuff. It doesn't matter if you're a Jew, it doesn't matter if you're a Gentile. What it matters, do you believe in Christ? Have you put your hope in Christ? It just doesn't matter. All other stuff doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what religion you are. It doesn't matter if you're a Catholic or a Baptist or a Methodist or a Jew or whatever. Do you believe in Jesus? Have you come to Christ? That's your hope of righteousness. That is your hope of righteousness. And He says, what is important, but faith working through love. Being a Jew or Gentile doesn't mean anything, but faith working through love. What's important is faith that works through love. You see, faith works through love, not law. Faith doesn't work through law. Matter of fact, it makes you ornery. You get all tied up in legalism and you become a hard-nosed person. You do. Because love doesn't work by law. Faith works through love. Paul said, if I have faith to move a mountain, but I don't have love, I'm nothing. You can go out and raise the dead, but if you don't know how to love, you're nothing. That means nothing. Faith to move a mountain, but I don't have love, I'm nothing. In verse 7, if you run, you were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion did not come from him who calls you. And he said, a little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough. I have confidence in you in the Lord that you will adopt no other view, but the one who is disturbing you shall bear his judgment, whoever he is. But I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why am I still persecuted? Then the stumbling block of the cross has been abolished. Would that those who are troubling you would even mutilate themselves. Paul's not happy. God calls us to freedom. He says, so watch out for those who would put you under law. He said, a little leaven leavens a whole lump of dough. You ever made bread? How many of you actually made bread or seen it made? And you put yeast in the bread. You got this big lump of dough. You put this little bit of yeast in there, a little teaspoon or whatever of yeast. You mix it up. And what happens? The whole thing. The whole thing rises. The whole thing. Not part of the thing. You know, it doesn't just rise in little bumps. That little bit of leaven leavened the whole lump. And so Paul is saying, it doesn't take much legalistic teaching to mess up the whole church. Hello? And so you got to be on guard against that thing. You got to be on guard against that putting people under the law. One person can lead a lot of people astray. And that's what was happening in these churches. And so, saints, we have to be on guard with each other, that we stay under the grace of God. Amen? Stay under the grace of God, because that's where life is. And then in verse 13 through 15, he says again, for you were called to freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, take care lest you be consumed by one another. And this kind of brings me to why I titled this message, Free to Love. He said again, you were called to freedom. Freedom in Jesus. In Christ there is freedom, brothers and sisters. There's freedom. You're called to freedom. Now don't turn your freedom into an opportunity for your flesh. You see, there are rivers of living water flowing out of you. Rivers. Everybody say river. Look at your neighbor and say, you got a river. Amen. You got a river flowing out of you. A river of what? A river of life. What comes out of us should be life. It should be life-giving. When we get around people, they ought to just really like us. I mean, they really should, unless they're just God haters. There should be life flowing out of us. It shouldn't be something in us that makes them not like us, or our character or attitude or whatever. We ought not be grumpy. I mean, really? You ever get grumpy? Well, who likes grumpy? Nobody likes grumpy. No, river of life, joy, and peace, and patience, and kindness, and gentleness, and meekness, and self-control, and all those fruits of the Spirit flowing out of us. People ought to go, whoa, those Christians are awesome. I love working around Christians. I love being with Christians. Of course, you know, God haters, they don't want to be around you because you convict them with your joy. Oh, wipe that smile off your face. But being so joyful. But we should. We should have life. And we all have different personalities. You know, some of us wish we had a different personality. And we do. We all have different personalities. Some of us just maybe naturally happy, go like, you know, happy people. Others are just kind of naturally grumpy people. Well, put off grump and put on love. So we've been called to freedom. But don't turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh. What is he talking about there? Well, he gets it to it in rest of the chapter, which I'm not going to preach today. But our freedom is not freedom to satisfy our sinful desires. Paul said, shall we who have been set free from sin still live in it? God forbid, he said. God forbid. How can we who have died to sin still live in it? We certainly shouldn't be comfortable in it. When it happens, we should run to the cross in repentance. Amen? Because we hate it. We've been set free from that mess. And then he says, but through love, serve one another. Look how he turns it. You've been called to freedom, and your freedom should result in love for one another. You know what makes a good church?
Amen.
You know. He already knows where I'm going. Loving one another. It doesn't matter that we got our doctrine right. I mean, it's good. We need to have our doctrine right. It doesn't matter that one person has faith to heal you and you don't, and so you feel bad about yourself. What matters is, do we love each other? I mean, if we don't love each other, then we're not letting this river of life flow out of us, are we? If we don't care for one another, and if we don't deny ourselves, do y'all know you're all selfish? Yes. Me too. You're just selfish people. I know you don't want to hear that, but it's true. If you think you're not, then that's evidence that you are. You're also a liar. That's just, we need to be real, don't we? We are selfish people, and we want what we want and our desires. But he says, now put that off. You're free. Don't give in to sin. And you know, sometimes we hear that, we think, well, immorality or, you know, sin, I'm not going to murder anybody. But you know what he goes on to say? Move your feet, because I'm getting ready to step on your toes. Paul's getting ready to step on your toes. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in one statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, take care lest you be consumed by one another. What's the sin he brings out here? Biting and devouring one another. Tongue sins. Tongue sins. The whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, love your neighbor as yourself. You want to keep the law? Love your neighbor as yourself. The sum of the law is love your neighbor as yourself, and love God more than yourself. Love your neighbor. Free to love. We are free to. You want to have a happy marriage? We'll love each other. Well, you didn't love my husband. Doesn't matter. You married him. Love him. You know my wife. Doesn't matter. Love one another. And a church that loves each other and loves one another, I have a feeling, will become a large church. If we love one another and we care for one another and we don't bite and devour one another, because we're in Jesus, then we will be a people full of the life-giving rivers of water, full of the presence of the Holy Spirit. It won't just be, you know, we've been having some great times in worship. And we love to worship. But that'll be the aura on us all the time. Because we carry His love with us. Amen? So don't bite and devour one another if you're a Christian. If you're a Christian, act like it. See, it's easy to do that right today, but when you get out there tomorrow and Monday morning you wake up and you're grumpy and your spouse says something to you or your boss says something to you or your coworker says something to you, don't bite their heads off. Deny yourself and put on love. Just put on love. Amen? Amen. And if you blow it, then humble yourself and ask for forgiveness. Repent. Be reconciled to one another. You know, Abraham Lincoln said, America will never be destroyed from the outside. If we falter and lose our freedoms, it will be because we destroy ourselves. If you've been watching the news, there's a lot of biting and devouring going on. You need to be praying for our leaders. Same thing goes for a church. We can't be destroyed from outside, but we can be destroyed from inside. We must never let that happen. We must never let that happen. And if there's strife between you and someone, then Paul said, as far as it depends on you, be at peace with everyone. Do your best to be reconciled. If you've been hurt by someone, then it's your responsibility to forgive. Not go beat them up. Not demand that they get right with you. No, your responsibility is to forgive and put on love. And the Bible says love bears all things. It hopes all things. It believes all things. It endures all things. And love never fails. Amen? So y'all want to be a church that loves each other? Well, I think that's what we should do. Really love each other. Aaron, would you mind to come up? We're going to close out. But I want to read again this scripture from John. If any man is thirsty, are you thirsty? If any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. Are we thirsty? Then come to the river and drink. Come to Jesus. He is the river of life. I would ask a question this morning. I don't know everyone here. The question is this. Are you in Christ? Have you believed? And I don't mean just you acknowledge that Jesus is a historical person and you believe he existed. But have you believed to the point of receiving him as your Savior? Realizing that you're lost without him. And understanding that he was sent by God because of his great love for humankind. And that whoever believes in him would not perish, but would have eternal life. Eternal life is in Christ. He is the river of life. He who believes in me will not perish, Jesus said. Scripture says that we are to repent and believe in the gospel, the good news. Let's all bow our heads. If you're here today and you have not ever really taken that step of putting your faith in Jesus for salvation, then Repent and believe in the gospel. What that word repent means is just turn around and go the other way. We're going down a path of destruction. Just turn around and come to Jesus. And believe and accept Him as your Lord. Paul said, if a man believes in his heart and confesses with his mouth Jesus as Lord, he'll be saved. Believe and receive Him as your new Master, your Lord. And if there's anyone here this morning, I'm just going to ask this. And you're saying, that's me. I need to turn my life to Christ. I'd like to invite you to come up here to the altar. And I'd like to pray for you. Anyone at all? If that's you, I'll just wait a minute. Sometimes getting out of your seat and coming forward might be a little much for you. If it is, and yet your heart is moved, if someone brought you here this morning or you came or you met someone, please don't leave church today without talking to someone and asking them to pray with you. And we would like to walk with you in your newfound life if that happens to you today. Because there's a church full of people here who will love you. They better after this sermon, right? I'd like to ask another question, and this one's to the saints, to all of you who do believe. You've been set free to love. And my question for you is, there's strife between you and someone. It might be a hard thing for you to even admit or want to face. But we must not allow it. Because those rivers of water get clogged up by strife and bitterness. And when you got strife and bitterness in your heart, that river can't flow. And you need to make it right with God. And if you can, make it right with a person. Like I said, as far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. If you have and are actively maybe committing sins with your tongue, you've got a sharp tongue, a bitter tongue, and you've hurt people, maybe people close to you or anyone, then let's take time today to just lay that before the Lord and really repent and ask forgiveness. And if you need to ask forgiveness from someone, be willing to do that. And if you need prayer this morning, you need someone to stand with you in that, pray with you in that, I want to ask you to come forward. If there's anyone here that would say, that's me, I need to do that, I want you to come forward, and I'm going to ask some people to come pray with you. And again, if you don't want to come forward, here comes someone. Thank you, Lord. I'm just going to wait a few minutes. And it is no miracle in coming forward, but what it is we're basically acknowledging things and we're saying, Lord, help me. You want to come? We're going to gather around you, some of the leaders here. And Kayla, would you come pray with us? Anyone else would like to come forward? And if you don't want to come forward, but you know you need prayer, take this to heart and really reach out to the Lord. Let Him do a cleansing work. And let's open up those springs this morning. Let's just pray. Reach out your hands to these believers, brothers and sisters that have come forward. And let's just pray, Lord, we as a congregation, we gather around and we ask You to bring, Lord, the shower of grace. in their situation. And unclog the spring that rivers of life might flow. Bring healing. Repentance, whether it's needed. And restoration, Lord, in relationships and in their own heart with you, Lord. God, you're good. Father, we thank you as we continue to minister here. Just reach out to the Lord and whatever God has ministered to you about this morning, just thank Him. Thank Him. Lord, I pray that anything that may have clogged our river, that today we'd be set free. And we'd be free to love, Lord. And you would baptize us afresh in your Spirit and unclog the river and let us take these words and these things that we've heard today and let it be life to us, Lord. And help us in our daily relationships, in our walk with you, Lord, as we eagerly await your return, when we will be able to put off this body of flesh. And Lord, until then, let the river flow out of us, Lord, in all of our relationships, and help us stay free to love in the power of Christ. Pray that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Can we all say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We'll close. Go get your kids and be blessed today. Go out and love on somebody. Amen. God bless you.